Good afternoon. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Glad to be with you after a week's vacation. Thanks very much to Sarah D'Elia for picking up hosting duties last week. And joined in the studio this hour by Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Good afternoon, Bob.
Glad to be here, Sean.
Thanks for very much for being with us. With us in studio as well, Karen Francisco from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Karen, thanks very much for being with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us in studio for the hour, it's Indiana Senator Dennis Cruz. Senator Cruz, thank you very much for being with
us. You're welcome. It's good to be here.
On today's program, we're going to be talking about independence for IPFW here in Fort Wayne, whether or not it's a good idea. And we want to hear from you today. Give us a call. Share your thoughts. The number is 260-452-1185. Of course, you can also email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. And Karen Francisco, I want to start from you. And Senator Cruz, feel free to jump in here. Karen, last week, an important meeting about this issue that's been simmering for quite a while.
Yes, the Indiana Select Commission on Education, of which Senator Cruz is the co-chairman, held a hearing, and I believe at his request, he can address that, discussed particularly this topic of governance of IPFW. Mm-hmm. So that was a discussion.
And this was a legislative study committee, as I understand it. And Senator Cruz, could you kind of summarize some of what was discussed at the meeting? Do you think it went well?
I do think it went well. I think we had the right players there. The president, I guess you'd call him the interim president of Purdue University, Tim Sands, was there himself, which made me feel good that the president came, because that's one of the problems that we have is we don't get the attention of the Purdue executive offices as well as the Board of Trustees to our Fort Wayne campus very often, and they have kind of a bad record, I think, over the years of not coming to Fort Wayne very much and giving much attention to Fort Wayne and the campus that we have here. So I think by having the vice president was there and several other officers were there, as well as their communications vice president was in attendance and their legislative liaison was there. So I think Purdue had a good turnout, and I appreciated them hearing that, because I think the president and the interim president really was not aware of all these issues and what had been taking on for decades now.
And is it simply that Fort Wayne is too far away from the main campus? I mean, why do you, because I know that this issue that IPFW has been a neglected place is not a new sentiment necessarily. Go ahead.
Well, they had an Indiana University extension and a Purdue extension downtown Fort Wayne. And in 1964, they finished the first building, and the first class started in the fall of 64. Mm-hmm. And I came in the fall of 65 as a student. So I was there the second year that the building was there. My brother was actually the person who laid the cornerstone of the building that was there first, that opened up in 64. So our family has been there. I think we have 15, 18 members of our family have attended IPFW. And so when we started that, it was kind of a, I don't know if a flip of the coin is the right word, but they had two major cities, Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, that didn't have a major university of the state. And so they decided that Purdue would take Fort Wayne and Indiana University would take Indianapolis. So those two campuses have really blossomed. I mean, I think Indianapolis is up to 30,000 students. Fort Wayne's, I think, 13,700. And so they have really become major campuses in our state. And as that's occurred, I don't think Purdue and even IU on their side, I think IU's probably done a little better at IUPUI in Indianapolis than Purdue has done at IPFW, but Purdue just seemingly has not given us full credibility and attention and allowed us, I think, to get some extra things on our campus that we don't even have now. I don't know if you want me to get into some of the details, but a couple of the things would be we don't have a checking account or a savings account at IPFW. So all the money, every dime, goes to West Lafayette. If you have a $15 purchase you want to make, you have to basically do a little form. I don't know what they call the form, but you fill out the little voucher. You send that voucher to West Lafayette, and then they send the check back to either you or to the vendor and pay that. To me, IPFW, we have a $190 million budget. We've been here for 48 years. I think we're capable, within the constraints of a budget that Purdue would do for us, and as long as you spend the money within there, I think we should have our own checking account and savings account at IPFW. So that's one major thing. Then another thing, we have 1,900 employees, 1,900 employees. West Lafayette hires and fires everybody. And I think, you know, how can they know who these people are, you know, from West Lafayette? So I think our people should be able to have the ability to hire and fire people at Fort Wayne at the IPFW campus. So those are two, I think, major things.
Karen Francisco.
Well, I think it's probably a good time to talk about what precipitated this hearing. And I think a lot of people believe it was the decision of the Purdue trustees to force Chancellor Michael Wortel's hand. He reached retirement age of 65. Purdue has a mandatory retirement age. Would you address that?
Yes. Michael Wortel had been here, I think, 18 or 19 years, and he kind of wanted to stay till the 50th anniversary, so he wanted to stay a couple more years. So he made the appeal, would you let me stay till I'm 67? And they turned him down. And I think that got a lot of people's attention. He's a healthy guy. He's, I think, at the top of his game. I think he's functioning well. To me, there's no physical, emotional reason why Michael Wortel couldn't have continued for a couple more years and finished out the 50th anniversary. But Purdue decided not to do that. So I think when that came to the forefront, people started talking about, you know, IPFW and who's telling who what to do here. And maybe, you know, West Lafayette shouldn't be telling us what to do in every little detail. And maybe it's time for us to have a little more independence or complete independence. And so I think bringing up the issue of complete independence, I think, gets people's attention. I have said all along that I don't want that to happen now, but I think the discussion of that is healthy and good for our community. I mean, Fort Wayne's the second largest city. I mean, we're 307,000 population, and I think, I don't know which is second, if Gary, Evansville, South Bend, but they're around 100,000 people, Fishers. So we're like three times bigger than the number three city, and we don't have a state university of our own. And I think, you know, it is significant in the future anyhow for us to still consider the possibility of having Fort Wayne University. And then another thing is to change the name and keep the affiliation. So we could keep our affiliation with Purdue University like we have now, but just change the name to Fort Wayne University, an affiliation of Purdue University and Indiana University. You still get your diplomas like you want, but yet we still would get the recognition of Fort Wayne University in our community in Northeast Indiana.
We're talking today about independence for IPFW. We want to know if you think it's a good idea. Should they sever their ties with IU and Purdue, or should things remain the same? Give us a call and let us know your thoughts. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. Karen Francisco.
Well, I found it was interesting. I was reading an editorial that actually appeared in the IPFW student newspaper, and this editorial was essentially critical of this discussion, complaining that legislators should just cut it out. It mentions the issue with Chancellor Wortel, and it said, it would seem lawmakers are only trying to childishly get even with Purdue for not making the decision they wanted. Student newspapers are wonderful learning laboratories, but sometimes they're a little isolated in their view. And one observation I would have, and Senator Cruz, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. This might have been the incident that precipitated this, but certainly over the years, legislators more than anyone else have seen how West Lafayette has treated IPFW. And Chancellor Wortel, who testified at the hearing, spoke a lot about second-class citizenship that IPFW has experienced. And if you would speak to that a little bit.
Well, one of the things I think Chancellor Wortel mentioned, there were 40 or 41 new buildings built during his tenure of his 18 or 19 years as chancellor. not one time, and I think even prior to that, I don't think Purdue University, West Lafayette, has ever put at the top of their list a new building for IPFW. Some of the students are enjoying, or a lot of all the students are enjoying all these buildings, these 40-some buildings that we have now. But it wasn't because of Purdue West Lafayette that we have those buildings. It's because Chancellor Wortel came to us directly as legislators in Northeast Indiana and said, we need this building. So we actually put it directly in the budget that we're going to build this building and build that building. And so we've done that 41 times, I think, in the last 18, 19 years. So that's one big thing. I think the campus wouldn't be what it was if we left it to Purdue University of West Lafayette. I don't know that we'd have one building, but we sure probably wouldn't have 41 buildings on our campus.
Bob Kaler.
How does funding per student compare at IPFW with other branches of Purdue and other branches of IU?
I don't have this memorized, but let's say we have 15 campuses of IU and Purdue, and Ball State has one, and Indiana State has one. Vincennes University might have two. Say we have 15 campuses. IPFW generally is like 14th out of 15. Sometimes it's number 15 on the funding per student from the state legislature. And that's one of the things that I don't think Purdue University has given us any help in giving us more funding. We're the fifth largest campus in Indiana. And if you have 15 campuses, it seems like we ought to be close to number 5 in funding instead of close to number 14 or 15 in funding. So that's one of the things that we think, and the students would profit from this. I think if they were an independent university, Fort Wayne University, they probably would be up number 5 in the funding. And so we could increase funding and have more money to do more things for the students. I mean, I know the students don't like that in some respects, and I don't necessarily want to totally sever relationships with IU and Purdue, but there would be some benefits for the students if we did sever that and become an independent university. I do think funding would be better.
Is that because you think that if it was independent or more independent, it would be easier for state legislators to steer money toward it trying to go through Purdue?
Yeah. I mean, we're a big area, Fort Wayne, again, you know, Northeast Indiana is one of the I think it's the third biggest population area of Indiana, Lake County and Marion County being first and second, but I think we're number 3. And so, you know, for us not to have a state university, I think, is not good as a major metropolitan area. And then not to have, I think, more local control of IPFW is not good. I think the legislators, and I think business people, too, would give more money. If we had Fort Wayne University, I think people that have extra money and stuff, I think they would give more money to Fort Wayne University.
Why do you think that the money is not coming to Fort Wayne, given the size of and Karen Francisco's raising her hand here?
Well, Chancellor Wortel raised an interesting point in his remarks in that it sets up an interesting conflict of interest to have West Lafayette. Any money that doesn't go to that goes to Fort Wayne doesn't go to West Lafayette, and he noted that on the Purdue Board of Trustees, there's not a single member who's from Northeast Indiana. Not a single member, I believe, is a graduate of one of the Purdue regional campuses. Their loyalties are with West Lafayette, and that essentially leaves Fort Wayne, Northeast Indiana, without a voice in West Lafayette to advocate on behalf of IPFW. And we've been really fortunate, and I'll, you know, point this out again, that we've had a legislative delegation that has been a very good friend to IPFW. Bob Meeks, Senator Bob Meeks, as State Budget Committee Chairman, was a tremendous friend. Senator Cruz certainly has been. Senator David Long. We've been fortunate to have legislators who really understand the value of having a strong university here. And so they've gone to bat even when Purdue West Lafayette has not. And I think that in these discussions, that's an interesting thing that we really should keep in mind, is that, you know, what if at some point we don't have these individuals in the legislature who don't have the same appreciation for what the university means to this part of the state.
We're talking today about independence for IPFW. We want to know if you think it's a good idea. Give us a call and get in on the conversation. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We'll continue the discussion with Indiana Senator Dennis Cruz, Karen Francisco, and Bob Kaler when we return. This is Midday Matters.
Actor Andrew Rannells originated the role of Elder Price in the Broadway musical The Book of Mormon, and he played Elijah, Hannah's former boyfriend, in HBO's Girls. Now he's co-starring in the new sitcom The New Normal, created by Ryan Murphy, who also created Glee. Andrew Rannells on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
This week on American Roots, two guitarists with over 150 years of playing experience between them. Jazzman Les Paul invented a new sound and a new guitar. And Delta bluesman Honey Boy Edwards rambles in from memories and music. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Monday night at 7 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Travel Leaders, proud supporter of public broadcasting, featuring Alaskan cruises and European holidays. Travel Leaders, making vacations monumental, online at travelbetterindiana.com. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
It's 12:24. You're tuned to Midday Matters right here on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel, Karen Francisco from the Journal Gazette, and joining us in studio today, it's Indiana Senator Dennis Cruz. And our topic for today, talking about independence at IPFW. Should the university sever ties with Purdue University and Indiana University? If you're a student, faculty member, or just want to get in on the conversation, we invite you to join us this hour. The number 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And Karen Francisco, I wanted to get to you here. This is a bit of a thorny issue because IPFW, it's in its name, does share qualities from both Purdue University and Indiana University. Yet we've been talking so far about governance only from Purdue. Could you help us clarify the governance situation a little bit?
Yeah, that is confusing. I think a lot of people think it's shared governance by Indiana and Purdue universities. It's not. Purdue actually has essentially control. There's a five-year contract that IPFW actually signs with Purdue, and that was determined essentially 1964 at the time this agreement came about. There are IU programs, and again, this gets back to that sort of that preference of what IPFW would be losing. There are Purdue departments, degrees, and Indiana programs, and faculty are either Purdue faculty or IU faculty. And that's another issue. Andy Downs from the university, who also testified, spoke a little bit about some of the concerns that the IU faculty have at IPFW in terms of not having a voice, they believe, in governance. So it is Purdue that actually governs the university, and that's where, if an issue would, some sort of a change in governance, that's what would be affected by it.
And Senator Cruz, we were talking a bit off the air. I mean, it is a 5-year contract. There would always be the option of just not renewing that contract. That seems like an unlikely scenario here, though.
It'd be unlikely, but if it's, for instance, if it did happen, then Purdue, our budget's about $190 million a year at IPFW, so Purdue could just say, well, we're not going to give you the money if you don't renew the contract. You're not going to get your $190 million, so we could shut down IPFW, or you could privatize it. Somebody could take it over privately, or the state legislature would have to actually approve it to become a 8th state university, which is probably be the most likely alternative, is that IPFW would turn to the legislature and say, we need approval here to be the 8th state university and be Fort Wayne University, University of Fort Wayne, University of Northern Indiana. You know, we have a University of Southern Indiana that was created in 1985, which was for 20 years was part of the Indiana State University regional campus. And they decided to go independent in 1985, and it's a scary thing. And students were getting Indiana State University diplomas, and they liked that. But they went independent, and I will say that I think basically everybody today, 25, let's see, what it'd be 28, 9 years later, I think everybody thinks it was a great decision in Evansville to create the University of Southern Indiana. The population of the students have more than doubled, maybe 2.5 times during that period. And people say, well, if you don't have the IU diploma, you don't have the Purdue diploma, you don't have the Indiana State diploma, then nobody wants to come here anymore. And that's not been the case. A regional campus. You get past the IU-Purdue diploma, most students are coming here because of cost and convenience is the big two reasons they come to IPFW now after the IU-Purdue diploma.
It looks like we've got a handful of comments from listeners, also some callers on the line, so let's open up the phones here. And, of course, if you want to join the conversation, that number once again, 260-452-1185, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Let's go to Cheryl on the phones. Cheryl, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I teach at IPFW, and as an IPFW alum, I would hate to see us go to Fort Wayne University. And my students have said, I have heard students say, I would not be here if it was Fort Wayne University. I came here specifically to get a Purdue degree. So I would hate to see that happen. And I hear what's going on the show today, but I would still hate to see us give up Purdue's insignia, Purdue's credibility.
And Cheryl, before we let you go, you know, obviously there's been significant tension between IPFW and Purdue. Have you seen those relations improve? Do you think the relationship is worth maintaining as it is right now?
Well, I would hope to think that we could actually build a bridge that would help us maintain a relationship or get the relationship back to something where we could all work together and not to have it be this confrontational. And maybe I'm living in a dream world. I don't know, but I would like to see that happen.
All right. Well, Cheryl, thanks very much for your call, and have a very good day.
Thank you. You too. You have a lovely day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And Senator Cruz, of course, bridge building a part of this discussion.
I think two other topics that we haven't brought up here yet today. One is the doctoral degrees. Purdue University has not allowed, IPFW has 13,700 students. We have no doctor's degree that we can issue at IPFW. And I think being here for 48 years, 13,700 students, the second largest city, we ought to have some doctor's degree that we can issue here at IPFW. So I think that's another major thing that we should try to get from Purdue. And then an additional one is research. Purdue University has their research department. They're recognized as one of the national research universities, so they have a tendency to keep basically all their research dollars in West Lafayette. We might get a little dabble here and there, but I think we could do some additional meaningful research at the IPFW campus as well, particularly in these industries that are in our area, insurance and orthopedic things and education and those kind of fields. I think if somebody was going to do some research, they could do that at IPFW as well as in West Lafayette.
Bob Keller.
Do you have any hunch about how Mitch Daniels becoming president of Purdue is going to affect this? Is he going to be more likely to centralize assets and resources at West Lafayette, or being as familiar with the state and all of its needs, is he more likely to diffuse things a little more?
It'll be an interesting thing. I don't know if he knows or anybody else knows, but he is more of a centralized government person. And so I think he had made the statement previously before he was even being considered for president of Purdue University, but somebody said that he had said, why do we even have regional campuses? So, if he's actually made that statement in the past, maybe he will push for some kind of independence or at least more authority at the IPFW level at Fort Wayne, and have Purdue maybe release some of their controls over everything. It'll be interesting, because when they even told him about this hearing that we had, Karen, you remember how he responded to that?
I mean, he generally suggested it was a good thing to have a discussion. So
okay.
So he's open-minded.
Yeah.
Looks like we've got another caller on the line. Let's get back to the phones. And we have Karen. Looks like she's lost us. Karen, if you'd like to call us back, we'll get you on the air as soon as we can. In the meantime, we have a Facebook comment here from Tony. Tony says, I'm a graduate of IPFW, and I have to say the only reason I went there was because the degree was from IU. If it were from a lesser-known school, I would not have gone there. It's important to consider the name on your diploma. It does matter when looking for a job. And Senator Cruz, I imagine this is probably the number one obstacle that people run into when they think about independence for IPFW.
It is indeed. I think if you probably polled those 13,700 students today, that would be number one reason to stay connected to IU and Purdue is because of the diploma. And it's interesting because you'd think somebody would think, well, what about the education I'm getting here? I think the education would be the same if it was Fort Wayne University or if it was Indiana Purdue. And both of those universities had to start at some time in the early 1800s to establish themselves. So, Fort Wayne would have to get started. It'd take several years to get established. But I think once you had a decade or two decades of Fort Wayne University, then people would start saying, hey, I want to go to Fort Wayne University. And they'd be proud of their diploma at Fort Wayne University. But that transition would be tough.
Karen Goldman.
Well, this is probably a good point to talk about what else could come from this hearing and from this attention to this discussion. It's not a matter of IPFW going independent or nothing at all. And talk about what you've seen happen since the hearing, what you've heard, and what you would like to see in the next session.
Well, the interim president of Purdue University after the hearing, Tim Sands, said that he was very receptive to what was said at the hearing, and he said, I think we need to implement some of these items at IPFW. So again, I don't know if Bob's correct, and when the new formal president comes in January sometime, he's going to be different, but this current interim president was very receptive, and I think when he heard the context of IPFW being like a stepchild for Purdue University, I don't think he particularly liked that. They have two other campuses too, and we're one of three campuses that Purdue does and handles. And so I think the other people have some concerns. They're not as big as we are. I think one's 6,000 and one's 8,000 compared to our 13,700. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think there's headway being made now, and I think Karen's correct. I think our goal, actually my goal as a part of this, is that we actually do maybe get to have a checking account at IPFW, and we actually can maybe even have a mini board of trustees here, that we can hire and fire people here, that we could have a doctor's degree issued here or two, and we could have some research dollars come to IPFW. And I think if we got those things, I think the issue of independence would go away. at least for a while anyhow, several years.
We're talking about the issue of independence for IPFW here in Fort Wayne on this hour of Midday Matters. We do want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We have to go to a break in just a moment. Before that, I'd like to read a quick comment from Steve. Steve says, my degrees are from Ball State University in a field where BSU is recognized nationally and internationally. There's a certain level of respect given to a business degree from IU, whether earned in Bloomington, Fort Wayne, Indianapolis. Certainly the same is true for an engineering degree from Purdue. What would become of that cachet for students and graduates? We'll answer that question when we get back from the break. Steve, in the meantime, stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
Two months until Election Day, and it's still not clear what new voter identification laws will be in effect.
Even if the voter knows what ID to produce, different poll workers may not accept it based on their own understanding of the voter ID rules.
Confusion over state voter ID laws, later on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOY News. The Indiana Commission for Higher Education wants college success coalitions in all 92 Hoosier counties. Currently, 35 exist across the state. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on what the state is doing to encourage the growth of these outreach programs.
College success coalitions bring together various organizations, including K-12 schools, colleges and universities, community groups, charities, and businesses to help students get into and succeed in higher education. Activities would focus on preparing, planning, and paying for college, such as teaching younger students how to save for college and helping older students choose a career and apply for financial aid. County Coalition consultant Susan Tharp says the Clark County Coalition helped seniors fill out college applications in an area where only about 40% previously did so.
We implemented this activity called Close the Deal, and we now have over 80% of our seniors completing an application.
Commissioner for Higher Education Teresa Lubbers says the incentives for counties to participate go beyond simply wanting students to succeed.
We do provide $1,000 on a one-time startup basis, and then we actually will be rewarding counties that meet their performance metrics with additional funding throughout.
Tharp says setting up a coalition is a roughly six-month process. The commission will hold an informational meeting for interested counties on October 4th. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The Fort Wayne Tin Caps quest for a division title continues tonight in Ohio. WBOY's Doug Gruber has the series details.
Saturday night at Parkview Field, Lake County took a quick 1-0 lead when their leadoff hitter planted the first pitch of the game over the right field wall. Fort Wayne responded with three runs in the bottom of the first. That held until the fifth inning when Lake County closed the score to 3-2, and in the eighth inning tied the score at 3. But Fort Wayne in the eighth got a Travis Jankowski double. He was sacrificed to third, and Yason Asensio single drove in the winning run and a 4-3 Tin Caps win. The series moved to Lake County last night, and the captains roughed up Fort Wayne starting pitcher Eric Cabrera for 5 runs in the second inning, went on to even the series at a game apiece with a 7-4 win over the Tin Caps. The deciding game is tonight at Lake County. The winner will move on to the league championship against either Wisconsin or Clinton from the Western Division, and the loser tonight goes home. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
The Elkhart County Sheriff's Department is teaming up with an Amish group known as the Northern Indiana Safety Association to try to educate people about how to safely operate horse-drawn vehicles on public roads. The effort comes in the wake of 2 girls being killed and 3 of their siblings being injured in Middlebury a year ago when their pony cart collided with an SUV on a rural road. Sheriff Brad Rogers says the manual being distributed by his office tells horse and buggy drivers how to safely use public roads and also can be used by drivers not familiar with horse and buggy operations. The manual covers topics ranging from courtesy, conduct, buggy lighting, age of operators, driving on the roadway, and rules of the road. Authorities say a Fort Wayne ambulance was hit by at least 16 bullets as it was transporting a person from a nightclub stabbing. Three Rivers Ambulance Authority spokesman Mike Gillespie says one of the medics was hit by bullet fragments and has been released from a hospital since the shooting at about 3 a.m. Sunday. Gillespie says the ambulance's back windows were shot out. Officers caught four men who they believe were in the car from which shots were fired at the ambulance and a car carrying three friends that was following the ambulance. Officer Jeremy Webb says three of the men were arrested on charges not related to the shooting while it remained under investigation. The three people from the car were also wounded. And now back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
And a very good afternoon to you. It's 12:42. You're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. We're talking this hour with Indiana Senator Dennis Cruz, Karen Francisco from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, and Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. The topic this hour, independence at IPFW. Do you think it's a good idea? Let us know your thoughts by giving us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And before we went to the break, we read a comment from Steve who was concerned about the cachet for students and graduates. And as we mentioned a short while ago, Senator Cruz, it's a legitimate concern. You think that it'll recover, that a Fort Wayne University after perhaps a lull, perhaps a loss of students, will get those students and that credibility back.
That happened at the University of Southern Indiana, and I think it would happen at Fort Wayne University as well. I think you could build that local identity, and you know, you got to do recruitment and marketing, but I think once that gets out there and gets going, I think people will want to come then. They'll on purpose want to enroll at Fort Wayne University.
Well, we can talk a little more about identity in just a few moments, but we've had a very patient caller on the line I'd like to get to here. We have Will on the line one. Will, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd just like to put my two cents in on this if I can. My son was worked at Navistar and was laid off here earlier this year. Fortunately for him, he'd been going to school at Purdue over the years and was working towards his mechanical engineering degree. And when he got out or got laid off, he was able to go back and catch that degree at Purdue as a mechanical engineer. I think what Cruz is failing to realize is that whole school was based on the fact that it was IU and Purdue, and that's what has brought the kids into this area. And I think it's going to be a great disservice to the community if they go independent. That's just my thought. I think it's one of the worst things that could happen to that university.
All right. Will, thanks very much for your comment. And Senator Cruz, of course, a lot of passion around this issue, especially when you consider that the influence of the larger universities is important to many people.
I totally agree. And my diploma is at IPFW, and it reads Indiana University. And I like Indiana University on my diploma, so I totally understand that part of it. That's the biggest reason, from my thinking, to keep it independent. You get past that name on the diplomas, and I think we have a good argument then to have it be an independent university. But I do agree having that diploma say IU or Purdue is very important.
We had a comment here, and thanks very much for your call, Will. We appreciate it. And if any of our other listeners would like to get involved, it's 260-452-1185. We had an email comment here from Danny. Danny says, why could there not be a Purdue system president and board that governs the whole system? Each campus, including West Lafayette, would have an equal or size-based representation under this board. And Senator Cruz, I see you nodding.
I think that's a great idea. And I don't, he's saying to have like two people, two trustees from Fort Wayne, two from Calumet, two from Michigan City, and six from West Lafayette would be on the one big board of trustees. I think that would be a great idea. I think we would love that, to have two people from Fort Wayne, for instance, be on the board of trustees would be a big plus for IPFW.
Based on what you've seen, this brings up a good point. I mean, is there an appetite for reform in West Lafayette?
I don't think so. I think Fort Wayne's going to have to kind of create it. I think that's one of the purposes we're having the hearing, is to create the discussion, talking about it, listen to people's input. And Bob, I think, had something he wanted to bring up in the area of Division One athletics.
Well, we had a comment from a caller that we weren't able to get to, who said, you know, how much of the resources at IPFW are being being devoted to sports when they could advance academics. And I just wanted to throw that open to discussion of whether you think it's a plus or a minus for the institution to have as strong a presence in sports as it does.
Yeah, what's one thing we did do in recent years, we became a Division One athletic school. So now we're participating potentially with the biggest, best athletic programs in the country. And interesting enough, our volleyball, men's volleyball team, performs well, has been ranked number one in the nation and had great seasons and been a wonderful team, even against the biggest, best volleyball teams in the country. And I think athletics at IPFW has grown over the years, and it'd be interesting to know how many students we have, but I would guess there's 1,000 to 2,000 students at IPFW that are involved in athletics. And that's a big thing to draw people, and I think if you were Fort Wayne University and coming there to play basketball, or you know, maybe we could even create a football team and, you know, continue our volleyball tradition in other areas, I think students would come here to be an athlete on the athletic teams.
We want to hear from you today. That number, 260-452-1185. You can always send us a tweet or post on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. And, of course, that does contribute in a big way to an identity. And I would think that one of the big issues that a lot of people could see at IPFW is it Purdue? Is it IU? Is it Fort Wayne? Do you think strengthening that sports tradition, I mean, would help get the community more involved in the university, turn it more toward a college town?
I absolutely think so. I mean, I don't know how many we have, but if we have 3,000 people come to a basketball game, I think we were the Fort Wayne University and we had a good team in recruitments, I think you'd see 6,000, 8,000, 9,000 people come to IPFW basketball game or Fort Wayne University.
Looks like we have a caller on the line here. So before we get to a break, let's go to Mary on line one. Mary, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Thank you for taking my call. I had called in earlier concerned about not what percentage or asking what percentage of money was spent on athletics, but making the comment that part of, in response to the issue with funding at IPFW and maybe some more private dollars could go into IPFW if it was independent, I was calling to say that most of the private dollars that were raised recently were put directly into athletics. And from a student perspective, except for those 1,000 students that are athletes and getting scholarships, for most students, this is not seen as a positive thing at all. Most of the students do not go to the games. Most of the students work. Most of the students, the vast majority of students, are very busy in their lives and don't have time for that. And a lot of money has been shifted from what could be athletics into could be academics into athletics.
And thank you very much for the clarification, Mary. We appreciate it. Of course, this is something that it seems like all major universities deal with these days, that where does the money come from and then where does it go? And so often it does go into athletics.
Absolutely. And also the student fees have gone up extremely, just unbelievably high to support the athletic program. And the scholarships, some of those have been shifted from academic scholarships to athletic scholarships. So from a student perspective, this is not a positive thing, nor is going independent, because as you know, the majority of students and alumni want the university to have that affiliation.
All right. Well, Mary, thanks very much for your call and for the clarification, and have a very good day.
You too. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish the discussion with Senator Dennis Cruz, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel and Karen Francisco from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
I believe. Actor Andrew Rannells originated the role of Elder Price in the Broadway musical The Book of Mormon, and he played Elijah, Hannah's former boyfriend, in HBO's Girls. Now he's co-starring in the new sitcom The New Normal, created by Ryan Murphy, who also created Glee. Andrew Rannells on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
5 years after the bubble burst, finally some good news on housing. Prices and sales are up. Dave Main builds homes in and around Seattle.
We are seeing people being able to borrow money from banks. Interest rates are low and prices are still reasonable.
But not everywhere. I'm Neil Conan, Robert Schiller on the Housing Rebound, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
This is Jason Wilbur, guitarist for John Prine and host of the weekly radio series In Search of a Song. I'm proud to tell you that you can now hear In Search of a Song every Monday evening at 10 p.m. right here on Northeast Indiana Public Radio. Each week you can listen in as I talk with recording artists about the trials and revelations that have shaped their lives and their music. It's a fascinating journey, and I hope you'll join us as we go In Search of a Song.
And a very good afternoon to you. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler, Karen Francisco, and for this hour, Indiana Senator Dennis Cruz. We're talking today about potential independence for IPFW. We want to hear from you. Do you think it's a good idea that IPFW sever ties between Indiana University and Purdue University? Give us a call. The number, it's 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We've heard from a lot of listeners this hour, Senator Cruz. We haven't touched a lot on the way forward, though. Based on the results of last week's study committee meeting, where do you think we're headed? Is it towards independence? Is there appetite for independence, or is it smaller increments than that?
I don't think there's an appetite for independence, and I'm not promoting that now myself. I want to talk about it, and I think it's good for us to consider it, see what it would be like if it was that way. But I think one of the things that is happening now, Purdue University has created inside the university, trying to think how to say that, but they've created a committee of people from the three regional campuses and the West Lafayette campus. So they have four campuses, and they have people from academics and staff and executive offices, and there's a group of, I don't know how many, it's 20 or 30 people that are meeting on a regular basis now to talk about these things that we're discussing here today. And I think that's healthy that Purdue University is doing that, and I think the hearing we had last week will instigate that to be even a bigger deal. And then another thing that was brought up, I think Chancellor Wartell brought this up, I believe, but he said you could have four, we have four campuses, there ought to be a chancellor at each of the four campuses, and the president ought to be over all four campuses. Right now the president's over West Lafayette, mm-hmm. and that's their bailiwick and their power structure there, and they are, they're in a sense, these other three campuses are kind of stepchildren of the main campus. So I think if we could just do away with that and get better funding, get a local board of trustees of some kind, and get local control of hiring and firing, and money that we could handle our own checking account here at IPFW, and get some doctor's degrees and get some research dollars. I think those six or seven things, if we get half of those or all of those, I think nobody would be talking about independence for a long time again.
Looks like we have a few callers on the line. Let's go to the phones briefly here. We've got Andrew on the line. Andrew, good afternoon. This is Midday Matters.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. Go ahead.
I'm a recent graduate of IPFW. I actually did most of my time at Indiana University Bloomington. And because the college had the name that it does, that's one of the reasons why I felt comfortable returning to like my hometown kind of area. That's something that I think would be interesting to hear about people that might come back to the regional campuses. from the main campuses. And also, I was curious as to know if anything had been put out to the current students to hear more about what they think.
All right. Andrew, thanks thanks very much for your call, and congratulations on graduation.
Thank you.
All right. Have a very good day. Senator Cruz, any polling of students, faculty, staff on this? Any sense from the community at IPFW what their thoughts are on this?
Well, I think this would be my hunch is that most everybody would want us to stay connected to Purdue and IU. And the average person doesn't know the inner workings, these things that we just mentioned, those six or seven issues that are out there. The average person doesn't think about those. But when you stop and really analyze them, those are pretty important things for the future of IPFW to continue to expand and grow, I think, in the future. And, you know, we just have to be careful. We do have a new law that the seven state universities currently, there's about 100 courses now that they have to accept in each other's systems. So I think that's another thing.
So students can transfer credits between one university and another.
Correct, which is a big step forward for transferring back and forth. So you can go to Ball State and Purdue, or Purdue transfer to IU, or you know whatever you do, go back and forth there. So some of those core courses are going to be transferable automatically. You took this class, it's the same at all seven universities as far as your credit.
We have time for one more caller here, so let's go to Patrick. Patrick, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm a kind of a middle-aged student. I'm in my mid-30s, returning back to college. I don't know. I kind of was a lot of people kind of gave me the impression that, you know, like IPFW was a college for, you know, returning students, and I had always been under the impression that that's the reputation the college was given. And being on the campus, you know, I'm starting to notice that the age demographic, I don't think is what it used to be. I the age demographic seems to be a lot younger than I think what a lot of people may seem to remember it used to be. I'm walking around campus and I feel really old. I don't feel old myself, but looking at some of these kids, I'm like, I'm old. You know, they seem a lot younger than I think what they used to be for being like a satellite school. And I just wonder how that would come into play as far as, you know, maybe playing a little bit of a devil's advocate as far as an argument for independence. You know, it's gaining such a young demographic. You know, does that come into play at all as far as gaining its independence? It's getting such a strong young demographic. Does that come into play at all when deciding if it's going to be an independent college at all?
And Patrick,
I'll take my response off the air.
All right,
thank
Patrick, thank you very much for your call. Senator Cruz, just about 60 seconds here. Certainly things have changed and changed dramatically at IPFW.
They have indeed, and I think he's right on, and I think we do have a younger student body. And Chancellor Wartell mentioned that last week, and I can't think of it. Was 24 is the average age now?
It used
to be 26, so I think it's actually the average age is going down. You know any more about that, Bob?
No, I was just that's a lot lower than it used to be.
Yes, yeah. I think it is. So I think he's right there that we need to be mindful of that we have a younger student body as a whole than we used to have.
Very, very briefly here, Senator Cruz, can we expect to see this issue come up in the next legislative session?
No. I don't think it will come up in the next session. I think we'll have another whole year here to discuss these things.
All right. Well, Senator Dennis Cruz, thank you very much for being with us on Midday Matters today. It's been
a pleasure.
Karen Francisco, thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you.
And Bob Kaler, thanks for being with us as always.
Thanks.
I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. We're broadcasting here from the Madge Rothschild Studios. The time is 1:00. Fresh air is up next. Have a great day.